Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 172. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we went and saw two of the newer films in theaters. You know what? Chris, let's start off with the box office winner for the weekend, and that was The Meg.
Yeah.
Jason Statham versus a giant shark. You're saying
something like that.
You're saying this gave you what you wanted, huh? Like you, like.
Yes, okay. It was pretty much exactly what I wanted, which is Jason Statham being Jason Statham, and then a giant shark just running around eating people, causing mayhem, and being completely stupid. It's not a good movie. But I had fun the entire time, like really, really dumb. But I don't know. I've seen a couple reviews where people are like, it takes itself seriously. I thought that everybody in this kind of realized it was stupid.
I'm like somewhere in the middle on that. Cause I feel like it tries too hard to like be just like a normal like movie, like,
oh sure, like it's a big budget summer movie, like it's like B level,
yeah, nonsense. It feels like a 90s movie or something to me.
Sure,
here's the thing, and then you know I do have my opinion on it, but I do have to like give a disclaimer for this movie, which is I was like having trouble staying awake through the movie, and I don't think that was like the movie's fault per se. It was okay. Just we went and saw it on Sunday afternoon at like 1 o'clock, which is like, I don't know, it's been my nap time for like a while lately. So like I was literally struck, like, and for whatever reason we thought it would be funny to go see it in 3D.
Oh,
and I found that to be a distraction, and it like bothered my eyes. So I was like taking the glasses off and rubbing my eyes, and then I was just like kind of dozing off. Like, I don't think I ever lost consciousness, but like for real, I'd catch myself like, oh, your eyes have been closed for like 2 minutes. But like, you know, I did absorb what the movie was. So
I mean, there's not much to absorb there. Like, you know, it's big prehistoric shark causing mayhem. That's about it. Like, there's not much more to it.
I felt like the movie I wanted, the movie like I had been advertised,
mm-hmm.
was a bunch of people on a beach being terrorized by a shark. And I thought it would be like really over the top and crazy fun all the time. And it's like, I agree with you that like I think the movie has a sense of humor and like knows it's a B movie. Like, but it's for me, like, it was like one, like the thing that was advertised that I wanted is not till like the third act, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
that,
the last
that, like,
20 minutes or so.
They don't hit the beach until the end of that movie. Which is, I mean, I understand why they kind of showcase that in the trailer.
That's the fun part.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought there was fun outside of that, but yeah, like that's the part you kind of like everybody wants to see, right? They want to see the Jaws type people on the beach panicking.
Yeah.
And it's not just Jaws. Like, this is a fucking shark that could open its mouth and swallow like 7-8 people at once. Like, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. For me, like, I think Jason Statham does a lot to elevate the movie for me. Like, I just like him. I like the type of like action star, like the character he plays usually.
Yeah.
You know, he's like kind of a drunk here. You know. But yeah, I found it really dull for like most of the movie. There's some stuff near the end that was fun, but like in my opinion, I would not recommend people go see this in the theater. I think
I certainly think you can wait on it. Like, it's not. I mean, it is. I hold Jaws up as the best shark movie. And then Deep Blue Sea, which is a B movie all the way through, is like my number two shark movie. And this is like, it's below both of those.
Yeah.
But
Well, I've not seen Deep Blue Sea, but it has to be. Like, I don't know. I just didn't think it was very memorable. Like, it's just okay. It was serviceable, I
yeah,
guess, but it
which
was not
it's
what I wanted. I
like
wanted it to
I'm
be
not
crazy. I wanted it to be Piranha 3D,
okay, right.
you
And
know?
I think we knew going in that it really wasn't that. I had kind of lowered my expectations on that when early reviews started coming in and saying, oh, it's boring, or it's like, I don't know how they like make a giant shark boring. Like I enjoyed it. I don't know. It was fine. Like, it's not anything special.
Well, I think they made it boring by trying to like, okay, well, we're going and exploring this thing, but like all this bullshit, when all you really needed was like, that's what's so great about Jaws, like the original Jaws. It's just like there's a shark, dude, and we have to kill it
Right,
or whatever.
right. Well, like I guess Piranha 3D does get around it like really quickly. They like
Yeah.
go like, 5 minutes in, they show like it's basically the same premise too, right? Like we interrupt a habitat that has been untouched by humans, that dates back to prehistoric times, and out pops some scary sharks, or in Piranha's case, out jump some scary man-eating fishes.
Yeah.
Like, this does spend a little bit more time on that, like trying to.
It like does this whole like story about like a rescue mission and all this stuff where it's like I don't know, it's not what I was expecting out of it. I was expecting a PG-13 version of something like Piranha. Like I expect it to be like super goofy and whatever. But I think I'm gonna defer, like I'm gonna obviously, be a little bit lower than you on this, but I think I'm going to defer to you on the rating for it because I was, like I said, kind of falling asleep a little bit.
I like, if you're gonna go see it, certainly do not go see it in 3D. I don't think you should go see anything in 3D, honestly,
No.
but for me, I think it was, I saw it in IMAX, which I mean I wouldn't recommend either if you don't have like the AMC
Yeah.
pass or whatever, but it was fun enough, like for me. I'm gonna give it a 3. I think the cast, for the most part, is pretty good. Rainn Wilson plays a pretty good, like, sleazy corporate villain guy.
Yeah, he's okay, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't blown away by him either. I don't know.
He's perfectly serviceable as the
Yeah.
corporate
I kind of
villain
like
guy.
how his portion of the story ended. It was kind of neat,
Yeah.
but like
Then I liked some of the other guys that they had, like the one guy that's stuck in the sub that he has to rescue. Ruby Rose as like the hacker girl.
I kind of like how I'm stealing this from someone else I saw say on Twitter, but like she walks aboard and right away like he's surrounded by like all these scientists and shit, but she walks on and he's like, "You look like you know what the fuck you're talking about." Like I don't know, it was just weird. It's like, and she just looks like this kind of like punk rock girl. Like I don't know.
Like
He's like, "You know what you're saying."
she doesn't fit in with them at all. Like, they're
Yeah.
all like real scientist people.
Yeah.
Not that you can't look like that and be a scientist, but she definitely did not fit the norm, and it's like, yeah, I trust this
He
one.
just assumes that, he just assumes she's better than them. I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna defer to you on the ring. I'm gonna give it a 3 as well. Like I said, like even though I did not love it and it's not what I wanted, it's still like it's a fine type of what it is. It's like okay, you know, it's watchable.
It's
But I'd
a
rent it.
late summer movie.
Yeah,
I think they
for
spent
sure.
way too much money on it. But also it made a boatload of money, so maybe they didn't. I don't know. But yeah, it's one of those movies, like if I see it on HBO or something, like when I'm like, if I'm flipping through channels or something, or just like happens to catch my eye, I'd probably sit down and watch it again. Like, but I wouldn't go out of my way to do so.
I'd say like that's the ideal way to watch this. Don't go to theater and wait for it to show up on HBO. Anyways, so move along. We both also saw the other kind of big movie that opened same weekend.
Yeah.
And that is Spike Lee's latest film, BlacKkKlansman. It is based on a true story about this guy named Ron Stallworth, who was like the first black cop, I think, in the Colorado Springs, was it?
In the movie, yeah, I'm not sure if that's like real life wise,
That's
but
true.
yes.
Yeah, it is true. Because I went and looked up some interviews and stuff, after I saw the movie. Real dude, he's still around. He's going around, doing interviews promoting the movie with Spike Lee. But anyways, so it tells the true story of this first black cop in Colorado Springs, who like is one of his first things he infiltrates the Ku Klux Klan, like his like this local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. I go all over the place when it comes to Spike Lee. Like, there's no denying that he is like a great, like important filmmaker. You can't ever take do the right thing away from him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But some movies of his I really like. Some, like I think I reviewed or at least mentioned his last film, Chirac, on here. I hated it. I gave it, I think, 1 star. This is on the other end of the spectrum for me, at least, anyways. I was really surprised by this movie. I don't know what I expected out of it, but I did not expect it to be as entertaining as it is. Like it's also it's challenging. It can be very devastating at moments, but I was really surprised by how through most of it, like how funny, how entertaining, and how engaging it is. I really think this is one of his better movies. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I am not a huge Spike Lee fan. There are definitely movies of his that I think are like excellent and great. But there are other ones, just like you said, like Chirac, that just like I don't know what the hell he's going on with there. But
So you saw that as well?
yeah,
Yeah, I did not
it's a
like it.
weird fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like he's hit or miss for me, but he's always kind of pushing his own envelope, trying to do new things, and I gotta give him that. Like
Yeah.
you can't take that away from him. This is an excellent movie. It's legitimately funny.
Yeah.
It is cast perfectly, and he is able to kind of take things that happened in the past and make them relevant for today. So it's not just one of those movies where oh, look at this bad shit that happened. Ha ha, like that was funny, wasn't it? And move on. No, like he ends it on a he drives a point home about as hard as you can at the end. So
One of the things I really do like about it is a lot of times when it's a movie about like race relations in America, it presents the story as this thing that happened in the past so we can feel better that we're not like that anymore. But this movie's kind of like flipping that on its head and saying like it's actually kind of worse now because these people are getting what they wanted. They're getting into power, you know?
right.
That I think is one really remarkable aspect of it. Just all around, like you and I both already said, it's really entertaining. The cast does deserve like special mention here. John David Washington as Ron Stallworth. I think he's really great in it. And his partner, played by Adam Driver, equally as good. There's a lot of like this movie tackles a lot of things at once and is somehow like it feels very confident in what it's doing. Like I'm thinking of like Sorry to Bother You earlier this summer, how that like kind of felt crazy and all over the place a little bit. This has a lot of things going on, but it feels very disciplined. I think there's like multiple interesting storylines here. Like the main character, how he struggles with the fact that being a cop makes him, you know, look like a bad guy to some people who are his friends, or, you know, a romantic interest. She views him as a bad guy because he's a cop and he has to deal with that.
Yeah. It ends like the way that the movie ends, like she questions whether he has handed in his resignation
or she can't
like,
be with him.
Yeah. She's like, I can't sleep with the enemy, like still viewing, even though he saved her, like still viewing her as him as an enemy. So
yeah. Yeah. And it's funny too, because Boots Riley called out this film on Twitter, saying about how, it's always like, I don't think we need a story right now about how cops are the good guys and all this and blah, 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 blah. I don't know if I necessarily agree with him, but especially because, like we're saying, like, it's an element in this film that is addressed. It's not like they, like, Spike Lee didn't notice that he could be criticized for that. But yeah, anyways, other things I think are really great. His partner, played by Adam Driver, having to realize that, you know, people view him as a minority. Like he's never like really dealt with the fact that he's Jewish. And him having to come to terms with the fact that, like, these people hate him as well. I don't know. I just found that to be an interesting part of it. Some of the Ku Klux Klan members, like the wife, who you could tell just like really kind of wants to be accepted by her husband.
Right.
Who is ultimately, though, does really horrible things. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to like about this movie.
Like you spoke on like some of the people that are in the local chapter of the Klan, but I think you also have to come back to Topher Grace and his performance as David Duke.
Yeah.
In this, like, it's the interaction that John David Washington and Topher Grace have in their conversations is fantastic. Like, it's just, he is Washington's stalwart, is able to pull out of Duke like everything that, like, you know, we expect to hear from these people. But you start to see how, like, Duke fashions it in a way that has become palatable for people today.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit in there, like, about how we have to, you know, we have to dress it up a little bit. And that, you know, that runs through to today. That's what today's, like, neo-Nazis try to do. They try to look like normal people.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you know, creepy guys with hoods on or whatever. Man, there's a lot about this movie that's great. I mean, there's a extended sequence kind of later in the film where they're cutting between a Klan rally and kind of like a black student activist rally type thing. And it kind of ties into film history and brings in Birth of a Nation into it. And it's really interesting because I was listening to, I want to say it was on a Slash Filmcast, they're talking about how the way that scene is cut is kind of borrowing from Birth of a Nation and sticking it in Birth of a Nation's face. Like, I guess that Birth of a Nation was the film that came up with parallel editing, okay, where you have, you know, two things going on at the same time. And using that to show that, you know, a Black Panther or a black student activist type meeting is not the same thing as what these fucking idiots are doing, you know. Right. I mean, we could probably go on about this for a while, but I guess the one, you know, we've kind of already touched on already, but the one other thing I wanted to, like, drive home is just this movie, I think, engages the audience. I think it's a movie that's worth going to see in the theater and seeing with a group of people. Like, when I went, it was on a Saturday night and the theater was, like, kind of half full, and it felt like a thing that you're watching with other people for a reason. How was yours? Were there people there when you went? Did you go
yeah,
at
yeah,
any
there,
time?
I went in the afternoon, but it was maybe about a third full. But there were people in the theater.
Were they reacting to it?
Yeah. I mean there are moments where there's definitely some like awkward laughter from white people in the
for sure.
Yeah. And I had a black family in front of me, and they reacted like differently to different things.
Really?
Interesting commentary from them too, like just hearing how like they would react and like and then the way the film ends, I think, like, you know, there's this big like a exciting ending to it. Everybody kind of gets their comeuppance, right? But it
yeah,
doesn't.
It's like
yeah, go ahead.
To without spoiling it, it's a, like this is a movie that gives you like your moments where the audience, like literally the audience cheered that I was in. There was like someone was like, yeah, like start clapping, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it gives you those moments, like you feel it.
Yeah.
And then there's like a final moment where like fucking Spike Lee just kind of drops the mic, and it's just like that. You could have heard a fucking pin drop in that theater.
Yeah, like it, so it goes from this high, like
mm-hmm.
this really high where, like the racist cop on the force is kind of they put a sting operation to hit him, and there's this really funny final conversation between Ron and David Duke, and then that's kind of like. I felt that could have been an ending, like right there, but Lee wasn't. He
wasn't quite done yet.
Yeah, I still have some more. It's like everybody is at this, like, yeah, we got what we want, and then it's like, hey, no, like, look, there's still more to think about here, right? Like, that's it's a really cool story.
Yeah,
it's funny, and it's crazy that this nonsense happened, and. Like, shit ain't done yet.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw everybody in the theater, like, you just see, like, this kind of like a light bulb hit off with them. And they all left, like, talking about, you know, how it ended and and what that means, which I thought was kind of perfect. Like, you don't go to a lot of movies where people are coming out going like thinking about shit.
Yeah, I found it. I thought it was incredibly powerful. Like I was just like, holy shit. Like, you know, it's like an emotional sucker punch. Like you kind of like thought, oh, maybe something might be coming. Like, but yeah, like he really, Spike Lee really swings for the fences at the end here, I think. And I think he makes a very good and important point. I'm saying this is a movie you should go see in the theater. If you can, try to see it with a crowd. I think it's one of the best films of the year. So I'm giving it 5 stars.
I agree with all that. I am also giving it 5 stars. It's something special for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it would probably be pretty good, but it kind of exceeded my expectations. So, yeah, go check that out while it's still out in theaters. Have you been watching anything else on it? Any TV? Any nothing?
Absolutely nothing. I keep like going. I should sit down and watch the new HBO show.
You're not watching Sharp Objects?
I haven't seen any of Sharp Objects yet. Is that
the one you were referring to, or something?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Sharp Objects is the one. I like for some reason just blew. I could not remember what that was. Yeah, I haven't really caught up on anything, and I need to sit down and actually catch up on some stuff. But yeah, no other films, no other TV. So
I've been watching Sharp Objects. It's did you read the book back when it came out?
No.
Okay, that was randomly one of the books I read, and I remember like really liking the book, so I was excited for the show. The show is really good, but it's also like really, really slow paced. It's hard to explain, but like it's just super quality show. But like, man, is it just like a slow drip of stuff actually happening. It's I think 8 episodes and 6 have aired so far.
Okay.
And like, I know kind of what's to come. So I imagine at the very least, the final episode is going to be exciting. But like, they have a lot of ground to cover in the next final 2 episodes. But it's weird because like it was kind of like a shorter book, and they've somehow extended it into an 8-hour
Okay.
like mini series. So maybe that's why it feels so slow. But it's worth checking out, I think. At the very least, it's a super high quality production values. You have Amy Adams, awesome editing, awesome cinematography. So, other than that, Chris, I've been wasting a lot of money buying Scream Factory Blu-rays.
Okay. You introduced me to them last week, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've been aware of this company for a while. I think that the Halloween collection that I got is put out by them. Yeah, I was telling you all about them last week. So yeah, I've been buying like a bunch of stuff. You know, it's weird. Some of the stuff is not as like, all right, so I got a Return of the Living Dead Blu-ray from them, and there is a 2-hour documentary on the making of it and just tons of other stuff. And then I got like They Live and Fargo from them, and it's just like slightly above what you would get on any other fucking like DVD release, like the extras in terms of extras. So it's kind of weird that like those two movies are like beloved as hell, and then you get like Return of the Living Dead, which people love, but like, man, did they pour their resources into that one? It seems like they're on a pretty consistent track record now, though. If they put something out, they put as much care as they can into it. Because I got Return of the Living Dead 2 today, which came out this week, and that movie's not good at all. And they still like tons of extras on there. They touched the movie itself up. It looks great. But yeah, like full hour documentary about the making of it, in which the cast and crew and the director all shit on the movie and shit on the
Oh, wow.
director. Huh?
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like, it's amazing. It's like all these people talking about how this movie was a piece of shit for this collector's edition of the movie that you just bought. Like, it's kind of fucking hilarious. But I remember them doing that, like, on the Halloween box set. Like, the people involved in, like, Halloween Part 5 were like, yeah, I don't know, we tried. Like that was kind of like the interviews. But yeah, anyways, I love Scream Factory. Even when you get something like, I took a total risk on Return of the Living Dead 2 because I had not seen that since I was a little kid. Even something like that, it's just cool to see the amount of care that they put into their releases. So I got Carrie was a pretty good one. And that was a good rewatch.
Yeah.
And then I got on the way an October collector's edition of Creepshow, which that'll be cool. And then in November, collector's edition of Candyman that I think comes with a poster also.
Nice.
Oh, and two of the one
I might have to get that Candyman one because that's a hard movie to kind of come by now.
And it's a cool movie, and I'm sure they'll do proper treatment on that. If I were you, I'd get the Thing one. I'm sure that all the stuff they did for that is
Yes,
top notch.
the thing is another one.
While the They Live and Fargo ones, I don't think that the extras on them were that great. They both actually came with a poster ordering it through their website, so that's cool, I guess. I got a pretty cool like They Live poster that I'm gonna frame and hang up, but yeah, I don't know, just that's it. But I've been watching a lot of old stuff like that lately because of that, and just like I also picked up the RoboCop trilogy at Walmart and watched through all those again. well, RoboCop 3 for the first time.
Really? So how do they, like, RoboCop itself, I think, I saw that more recently, and that, I thought that held up, but how do you think it, like, 2 does?
Well, RoboCop 1, I think, is, like, a perfect movie, and it holds up. It's great.
Yeah.
2, I had not seen 2 in a really, really long time, and I expected it to be terrible, and, it, like, parts of it kind of are not great. But I guess maybe because I expected it to be terrible, I was surprised that I still kind of liked it, and, like, it kind of retained some of the satire and stuff from the first one. Like, I didn't hate it. I was fine with it. I think the third one is definitely not as good. I mean, 2 is not as good as 1. 3 is not as good as either of them. Kind of falls off a cliff there. But, yeah, I was happy to see 2 again, I guess, at least. Like,
nice.
Because I think I saw that in theaters. Like, my uncle took me to go see it in the theater because I was, you know, so excited. And I remember, like, not being super impressed with it then. And I don't think I've seen it since. So it was cool to see that again. But, yeah, that's what I've been up to otherwise. I don't know what is up for next week, Chris, because there's nothing coming out that I think looks any good, even though I could go see it for free.
Right. Like, I was thinking, like, maybe I'll go see Mile 22, but that sounds like it's a dog shit pile, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I either check something out that's been out for a while, or I might just enjoy my weekend off and float in my pool or something. But we'll try to come up with something for next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like some real slow days. Like, when I look at what's coming out soon, I'm like, oh, fuck. Maybe I'll go see Mission Impossible again.
That's probably not a bad go.
But in the meantime, if you're listening and you have not seen Black Klansman in theaters, I say go see that. Chris says go see the Meg as well, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to rush out to see it, but, like, you know.
Go see Black Klansman first. You will be surprised.
I would agree with that.
All right, we'll be back next time.
All right.
Movie dudes.